Fab. Grab a drink and take a seat. We have the joy today of launching a two-part vision series. Woo! Don't be so excited. Just calm down. Wow. Every now and again, it's just really helpful to take stock of where we are as a church, to look back together, to see what God has done, and to look ahead at what is calling us into next. Thank you, Kit. This is so wonderful. You guys are great.
Our kids, so great.
Well, Junior tried to give me some daffodils, so it's kind of like all good intentions, slightly like misplaced direction, but it's all good. As we come into this series, we felt like God has been speaking through the passage in Isaiah 54, a text that probably will be familiar to many of us. It says, Isaiah 54, verse 2, "Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, do not hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes." This section of Isaiah is beautiful. The previous chapter, 53, overflows with prophecies about Jesus. In verse 3, it says, "He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering, a man familiar with pain." And then in verse 5, "He was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." And then the chapter after, chapter 55, is full of glorious kingdom invitation. So verse 1, "Come all who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat." And then later on, verse 6 to 8, "Seek the Lord while he may be found, call on him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord." And just what a wonderful chunk of scripture in Isaiah. On one side, you have this beautiful prophetic picture of Jesus. And on the other, you have an invitation of God to all people. And then in the middle, you have a call to the people of God to extend the kingdom, the rule and reign of God. And so James is going to unpack a little bit more next week as he comes on the second part of the series of what we feel like God is calling us to as a church. But throughout scripture, we see a pattern of looking back before we move forward onto what's next. So let's remind ourselves of who God is and what he's done. And on that note, like, we can build our faith on that. Let us be encouraged by that. So that's what we're doing this morning.
Yeah, great. I didn't know if we properly introduced ourselves into that. I'm Steph, by the way, if I haven't met you before. And this is Chris. We're the site pastors here at Cardiff North. Today we are majoring in on the looking back part of the series. We're going to celebrate what God has done through this community over the last year. And we're going to look where we are now. And then next week we're going to be looking forwards. So we're going to be sharing loads of stories. So strap in, it's going to be lots of information, but just really exciting stuff of what God is doing. Like, it's all for his glory. This is all Jesus. So these are stories of his greatness and his glory. So we're just going to celebrate together, not to say look at us, but to say look at him. So with this in mind, we wanted to highlight some of the things that have happened over this year. So I'm just going to rattle some things off. A year ago, we had our Kingdom Pursuit Conference, which was with Stephen Nicholson and Simon Gilbo, which was an amazing time together. Our Young Adults and Students Ministry just keeps growing and are right now meeting for their annual weekend away. Love Where You Live, we had projects across the city, super practical projects that blessed our communities. We had our Easter services a year ago, Good Friday reflections at the gate, walking through arts and different kinds of media, looking at the cross to the resurrection. We had our whole church Easter egg hunt. We've had over 50 of our young people went to DTI, which is their summer festival. And the team took over 40 of the youth on a weekend away in November. And then 40 or so have recently gone on the DTI road trip. We've had 125 ladies attend the women's retreat last year with Sharon Garlow-Brown in September. That was a beautiful time, really precious with the ladies of our church. Exalt Him was our 24 hours of prayer and worship. We had an all-in service at Glenwood Church, which housed our whole church, which was amazing. We had hot dogs and ice cream. What a win. Our carol service. We had 700 come through the door, which was incredible. Then we had newcomers events, neighborhood breakfasts, international lunches, and loads more. So in the Bible, we see so many instances of numbers playing a part. not just in the early church, but as a way of celebrating what God is doing in a season, in a place, and in a time. So in this place and time, we've got some more numbers for you. So in 2023, as best we know, between 120 to 130 people gave their lives to Jesus in and through this church. How awesome is that? And last year as well, we held several baptisms across our sites. In the summer, us as a North, we went to Porthcawl and held a baptism service on the beach. The West had one in Barry. Central have had some at the gate, and our young adults and students baptised more on their weekend away, and two of the youth were baptised in their midweek service as well. So last year, as a church, we baptised 27 people, which is amazing. So let's go 2024, I'd say. Yeah.
And so, yeah, we're a growing church. Our sites are really in a good, like, in a healthy place. And so over 2023, the church as a whole grew by roughly 24%. Which is amazing. And small groups have grown too. As a whole church now, we have over 50 small groups across all the sites, which is phenomenal. So like the place for people to really do life together and like get stuck in, that's a really exciting number. And it's gonna grow. And just these are all indicators of Jesus, how Jesus is building his church and what he's doing and how he's inviting others to come and play their part. And obviously behind all these numbers, like numbers are really fun. I've got an engineering background. I quite like numbers. But behind every number, like these are stories of lives changed, like lives surrendered to Jesus, people walking into these doors and finding like home, meeting Jesus for the first time, meet like salvation, baptism, and just finding their place in church. And all of it is like individuals who are invited to play their part in what God is doing in this city, across South Wales, across the nation of Wales as well. And so we want to share some more stories with you, some of these individual stories, and we're going to do these through the lens of our values as a church. These values are how we kind of outwork the vision that God has given us for, you know, restoring the city, renewing the nation. And there are so many stories. We asked the staff team, and in like under half an hour, there were over 50 stories from all the members of the staff team. So we are not going to tell all of them. You'll be pleased to know. So this is just a snapshot, but hopefully it just gives you a flavour. And like, we want you to go out this morning feeling encouraged, feeling excited about like being a church that is full of life. And so the language of our values has changed in the last year or so. So just as a reminder of what those are, we are captivated and compelled by Jesus, empowered by the Spirit, and built on the Word to be a grace-filled community of kingdom carriers and shameless worshippers who are courageously compassionate and outrageously generous.
Brill. So firstly, we are called to be a grace-filled community. The grace and forgiveness that God has shown us means that we welcome anyone, and we forgive quickly, and we just love extravagantly. And Matt got to see this in action in one of our kids' groups. Matt's one of our associate pastors of the church, and he was serving in one of the kids' groups one morning and witnessed this. He says, "I was serving on the kids' team, and it was the first morning for the children coming up from mini kids to join big kids, a big week as they will also start a reception year at school. During the morning, the two kids' groups are brought together to join the band for some worship. The band was in great form that morning, lots of praise and energy in the room. And when the new smaller children had come into the room, some of them had looked a little apprehensive and unsure as to what was going on. And one particular child looked a bit startled. Before myself or another member of the team could get to him, one of the older children, who was on the opposite side, strode across the room to comfort him. She was wearing some of the ear defenders that are available to the kids if they want them. And she took off her pair she was wearing and offered them to the younger boy. She then helped him put on the ear defenders and stayed with him as the song continued, making sure he was okay. He visibly relaxed, and you could see he felt safe and at home with her alongside him. It was a beautiful moment of our young people looking after each other." Isn't that lovely? So first, we are called to be a grace-filled community.
And then secondly, we're called to be kingdom carriers. And so we invite people in, but we also go out. In the Great Commission, Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and on the Holy Spirit." And so the King gives us his authority to extend his kingdom. And so go, Jesus says. And this year as a North site, we've started Street Cafe, which has been amazing. And there's been some amazing conversations. There's been, like, we've prayed for people. They've invited people to Alpha and into church. They've been praying for healing. They've talked about their doubts and their questions, and they've led people to faith. And the team continues to grow, and in number, but also in passion for evangelism and just heart for talking to people about Jesus. And they're taking Jesus' command very literally and going just around the corner, but going just to carry the kingdom into our local community. And we really sense that God is stirring us up in that, like a desperation to see people get to know him and to share the gospel in word and action. In our mini kids ministry, which is the preschool group for the young ones, one of the parents shared this about her daughter. It was one of her first Sundays in Vineyard Kids, and they'd obviously been chatting about praying and praying for healing, because when my foot was hurting the following week, she was really keen to pray for it. It was really encouraging for us because she hadn't been as keen before, but going into the mini kids environment had clearly really encouraged her and made an impact. I love that. Our under fives getting to carry the kingdom and show us how to do it. Someone from our website shared this story about praying for a colleague at work. I walked out of my office and one of my colleagues was just arriving, saying she had brought heat pads to work because she was in severe pain with her back and down her legs. Before I had the chance to think, the words came out, "Well, I could pray for you. Sometimes God heals people when I pray." Cue some raised eyebrows in the room. She said yes, and I got her to put her hand on her back and asked if it was okay to put my other hand on her shoulder. I then prayed a really short prayer, no more than a couple of sentences, and I asked her if there was any change. She said it felt a bit. She felt a bit weird and asked if it was working. I said it could be. Let's pray again. After another short prayer, she said that the pain in her back and her leg had gone away. I let her know quickly that it was Jesus that had healed her, and we said a real quick thank you prayer. She was amazed. When she was about to go home, I checked how she was feeling. She was great, no pain, and didn't use the heat pads. I checked a couple of days later too, and the healing had stuck. So good, so good. It's just incredible, like normal people, kids and adults, carrying the kingdom of God wherever we go. That's what we're called to do.
Great. Thirdly, we want to be a community of shameless worshippers. As we've said already, this stuff, what we're doing here, is all about him. And he deserves all the glory. And when we see him, when we actually meet him, how can we do anything but worship? So it was a joy to hear that during DTI, our youth, and in particular some of our younger youth, were absolutely flat out, just going for it in worship, pouring their hearts out in a proper demonstration of shameless worship. Also in youth, the youth band continues to grow. They recently led worship at the Youth Weekend Away, as well as the midweek service, which has had to move to the main auditorium at the gate because it's outgrowing the cafe bar, which is fab. And during Exalt Him, that was our 24 hours of prayer and worship, and there was never a moment someone wasn't worshipping God in the gate as people came through and powerfully just encountered him. And this year, over 40 people welcomed the new year in by gathering and worshipping Jesus. In the day-to-day as well, our groups gather to worship. So every Wednesday morning, a group gets together and worship for an hour. And as a community, we continue to write and sing our own songs to God, and some of which are being recorded and released. And people from other churches and other vineyards have come to us as kind of Cardiff Vineyard and said there's just something different about the worship here, that they see a hunger and an expectation from our worship. So that's exciting. We're a people who are made to shamelessly worship God.
Amazing. And fourthly, we are to be courageously compassionate. God's heart is for the least, for the last and the lost, and so we want to meet the needs of our city wherever we can. And the needs of our city are enormous and are growing. And we've been called as God's people to be his hands and his feet. And in Galatians 2:10, Paul says, "Wherever you go, remember the poor." Scripture makes it really clear that courageous compassion is not an optional extra. It is totally central to the gospel message. As you might imagine, the stories coming out of our Restore ministry are like nearly endless. It's an amazing thing. And so every week people are giving their time and their money and their energy to love and serve the needs of those in the city. At the Food Co-op this year, we are helping to provide affordable food for over 35 families a week. And a huge thank you to those who brought in stuff the other week and bags. It filled our car trying to get it back to the gate. Blend has continued to see community build and friendship strengthens. TIADVA now is working in partnership with The Message and prison chaplains to provide a safe and stable home for those leaving prison. Last year, our Grow Baby project provided 350 families with 500 packages to help the needs of their children under five. Come on, that's such good stuff. And there was just this story that stood out among all this that we really wanted to share. So 4 years ago, one of our Restore projects, the DIY Task Force, went to a woman's home to help renovate it. She had two young children and was struggling with drug addiction, and her home was in a terrible state. The 10 members of the task force blitzed it, putting in new carpets, sorting the garden, doing everything needed doing that this woman wasn't able to do herself. One of the team left a Bible for her, and a few weeks later, she got in touch to say she wanted to try going to church. One of those who had been on the project had parents who lived nearby, so organized that for them to take her to their church. She kept going week after week, and eventually she came to faith, started following Jesus, and was baptized. Whilst part of that church and growing in her faith, she was coming off methadone in a slow and a controlled way, which can take years. One week, she lost her methadone and was facing full withdrawal. On the Sunday, she went to church and asked them to gather around her and pray. She was fully set free from her addiction and hasn't taken any since that day. Her partner, with whom she had a long and difficult history, began to see a change in her, and he started joining her to come to church, and he has become a follower of Jesus and been baptized. God is in the business of restoration. Isn't it beautiful? It's such a beautiful picture of God restoring individuals, restoring families, and breaking addiction. And so when we talk about courageous compassion, this is why we talk about it. When we talk about restoring the city, this is what we mean. We mean individuals' lives changed. And this is all down to you as a body. You know, this is people serving, giving their time. It's such a beautiful thing.
Great. This brings us perfectly to our last, but by no means least, value, that we as a community are outrageously generous. We want to be a people that are defined by our generosity, both to each other, to this city, and beyond. Generosity is not supposed to be a burden. It comes from an overflow of our hearts that know the grace and love of Jesus. And wow, this is a super generous church. There are stories across our sites of things being given, food and bikes and clothing, nappies, time and money given to help others, often at personal inconvenience. And the whole point is that we just want to be a generous people so that we can be a generous church. But we also have to stop and remember it all starts with a super generous God. And like a good father who loves to give us good gifts, this year has seen God give us some wonderful gifts as a church. So our west site has been given a new venue, the brand new Fitzalan High School, which is in a great location. We've been given Blackwood. This is a church building up in the valleys to continue the kingdom work that has been happening there for years already. In 2023, our giving increased by 11%, which is amazing. But there's so much more we want to do. And James is going to talk more about this next week. But as we read in Isaiah, we want to stretch our tent curtains wide. We want to be able to welcome more people, reach more people, bless more people. And you know, the number one reason people don't give is they just don't get around to it. And so we want to put that challenge out to you today. Have you got around to it? If you haven't, could you? We invite everyone who would call this place church, to call this church home, to give regularly and enter into this journey of outrageous generosity. There's a form on your seat and also the slide. I hope you're going to have a slide behind me that will have all the ways you can give. So if you don't get give to us or have considered it, you are so welcome and we invite you to do so. Or if you're in a position to increase your giving or to give a one-off, you can do that too. But please don't hear this wrong. This isn't a compulsion thing or a guilt thing. Giving is a form of worship and it is part of our joyful discipleship to bring our offering to God and to see him take it and use it for his kingdom. So we are literally just going to take a minute now to sit in the quiet with the Lord, just around this value of giving. And we're just going to ask him about how he wants you to give in this next season. So you have full permission in this time to get your phones out or get something set up, set a reminder, get a diary out, make a plan. We know that giving doesn't happen by accident. So we're literally just going to take a minute now and pause and, just talk to Jesus in this moment. So why don't I just pray into this time? Yeah, come Jesus. We just give this value of giving to you now, Lord. Would you search us and just speak with us, God? We give you time now. Great. So that's our values done. So next week, James is going to come and speak to share the vision for what we feel God is calling us to as a whole church next. But we also just wanted to take a minute this morning to talk about where we're at as a site and what we feel God has for us as a local community. So there are three main things we have felt God just bring to our attention. And those three things are, we've got prayer, multiplication, and finally a releasing of gifting and calling. So we're just going to go through these together now. So prayer. We love to pray. And as a site, we have two weekly prayer meetings now, Wednesday morning and a Wednesday evening. We also have an opportunity to pray together during our Sunday mornings together. We've got opportunities to pray in our small groups as well. So why pray? Well, wouldn't it be a good question to ask, why do we think things will change when we don't pray? You know, moves of God, revival in this nation, it all started from an outpouring of prayer and worship. There's not a formula when it comes to God, but he does ask us to seek his face. And prayer is us. We're God's children, dearly loved, coming into his presence to power to come. And from that place, we also declare that Jesus is King, that he has all authority and power. And we, little us, we just simply say, Jesus, would you move? And we know the end of the story, don't we? We know that God will wipe every tear, that he is in the business of restoration to restore what's broken. And one day there'll be no more pain or suffering or darkness. So when we come to prayer, we're just saying, Lord, would it be now? Would we see that now? And so as a church, we, as a site, we want to say, God, would you teach us to pray? And by some beautiful mystery of the kingdom, God intervenes when we call on him.
So there's a few ways, like just practically, we want to push on this as a site. One is our personal prayer life, how are you spending time with Jesus? Be with Jesus. And so we'd really encourage you, how are you prioritizing your prayer life? And that is a joyful invitation, not a guilt question. Often that response is but it just feels like God is doing something in prayer. So be with Jesus in your personal life. Second is corporate together. We get to pray together. We get to join in unity and go after the things of God. And we can do that in ministry time. We want to see more of the prophetic released. And we want to see God move in power in our Sundays, in our prayer meetings, in our small groups. If you haven't been to a Wednesday prayer meeting, I would really encourage you to go to a Wednesday prayer meeting because they are going off. They're wicked. And the third one is in intercession. And so to stand on others' behalf, to sort of stand in the gap is a phrase that you may have heard before, to take a stand in the spiritual battle that we find ourselves in. On a Sunday over the last few years, we have had an intercession team praying over our space, praying over teams, praying over individuals, and waiting on the Lord to see what he wants to do over a morning before a service and stuff. And we can say tangibly that we've noticed the difference in the mornings where that has happened. So prayer really does make a difference. And so, yeah, personal, corporate, and intercession are the three ways that we really want to kind of push on what we think God is already doing within prayer. So the second of our big three is multiplication. We are, as you've heard, a growing community. We are expecting to keep growing. Kingdom growth keeps on growing. And so we want to grow. We want to grow in number, but we also want to grow in depth of what we do. And we want to see people come to know Jesus for the first time. We want to see people recommit their lives to him. And we would love to just make space for that. We need to make space to grow. And so we would love to launch at least 2 new small groups in 2024 to make room for those yet to come. Like we said, small groups are such a fundamental part of our community to be able to like do real life together. And so we need to launch 2 more. Maybe that's you. Maybe that's something like partnering with someone you know. Like, yeah, I could do a group with them. That'd be great. Come and chat to us. In the north, our capacity needs to grow. That means our teams need to grow. That means our kids' teams and all that sort of stuff need to grow. And so if you're not currently serving on a team, would you consider it? Is there anything that's stopping you? Come and chat to us. There's so many different teams to join. There's loads of different options. So there's something for everyone. There's also loads that goes on during the week in the behind the scenes of the church. And so we'd also love to invite, like within our capacity as site pastors, like if you have time in your week or you've maybe recently been thinking about like, oh yeah, I've got some skills that I could use that help this thing run like a well-oiled machine, or you watch us do it and you're like, man, I could do it so much better. Come and talk to us. We'd love to hear from you. And so like if you've got time, particularly a Thursday, like if you've got time in your Thursday day and you would like to do something within the church behind the scenes, this is your invitation. Come and chat.
Can I just say, even if you don't know what you have to bring, but you've got time and just want to come and be around, we'd love that. We'd just so love that. It's so lovely being a North, having the North vibe go strong in the whole church office. So we'd just love to have you. So, releasing of gifting and calling. Last year, we looked at the life of Elisha. We explored our calling. That's our general calling under the Great Commission that Jesus gave, and our specific calling. Like, what has God placed on our lives? What is he calling us to? And that will look different for everyone. And we're really excited to see how God will release individuals, will release families, households, teams into what he has for them this year. And we believe there's just so much more to come.
Yeah, before a service, we pray as a team. And last week, during that prayer time, I had this picture from the Lord, which was like, I'm quite a visual when in terms of how I hear God speak and stuff. So I saw in my mind's eye, like in the distance, like beyond the horizon, I could see that there was a fire, but I couldn't see the fire. I could see it reflected in the clouds. And the phrase that I felt God give me during that was that like there's a move of God coming and that we need to be ready. And we were reminded this week of Carol Wimber in the Vineyard Legacy film, that she does an interview with John Wright, and she talks about a picture she had of the church as like a jigsaw puzzle, and that the call on us as God's people and as God's church was to get in our place in the puzzle, that we each have a unique place, and so we need people to get in their place, and our hearts as a site is that people like find their place in church, to come and be, but to come and do. And just be in the new, like the unique, you know, your puzzle piece. Like, where do you fit? What does God have for you in that?
A good question to ask yourself is like, what are you passionate about? What dreams do you have? Are there people or places that break your heart that maybe just come up often within yourself? We feel God is calling us to pay attention to those things, to ready ourselves for what's next. And a passage that has been spoken over this site since it launched in 2018 is Isaiah 43:18-19. It says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." So don't you think, Cardiff North, it's time to get in our place, to ready ourselves for God to move. So why don't we stand and let's come together in response.